This morning's reading is from Isaiah 64, verses 1 to 3. If you have a church Bible, you'll find that on page 750. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you. As when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Morning, everyone. It's great to see everyone gathered for worship today. For those who don't know me, I'm Manda, and I'm the vicar here. And as I said earlier, it is a great privilege to lead this church, particularly at this time. Let's pray. Lord God, some of us saw an amazing sunrise this morning. We saw the beauty of those colours. We lifted our eyes. And we look in your word today that says, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Lord, shine your light onto your word that we might understand it. And shine your warmth into our hearts that we might love you more and love others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so to give people a bit of orientation as to where we are, last week we completed our sermon series, which we'd sort of called Characters Around the Cradle, Characters of the Nativity. We started on Advent Sunday with Zechariah, that priest, and then we went to Mary and Joseph. On Christmas Eve, we looked at Jesus. And then in the last 2 weeks following, we've looked at the shepherds, and then last week on Epiphany, the Magi. And now we stand looking into 2024. I wonder how that feels for you. Well, as Jude said in the intro this morning, this is a significant year for St. Mary's Church, for the family and fellowship of St. Mary's. 10 years worshipping Jesus in this building. Exciting. Exciting to look back, but exciting to look forward. As we stand on the threshold of this year, I ask, what do you want? What do you want to see? So I'm talking about our vision. Vision for us as individuals, as followers of Jesus, as disciples, and vision for us as a church. I'm aware that there are probably usually 3 points in the year where I specifically share with you my heart and my heart for the church. One of those is at our annual meeting, known in Church of England speak as the annual parochial church meeting. I often do it in sort of September, the start of the academic year. And this year, you found me climbing a ladder, the ladder of generosity. We looked at our giving, but in the context of the vision of the church. And so here we are at the other point where I share my heart and vision with the church, the start of the year, the start of the calendar year. And I say I share my vision, but it's not about me. It's about us together. I just have the privilege and responsibility to lead the church at this time. So looking into 2024 and asking, what do we want to see? Or maybe we should be asking, what do we want to see God doing? What do we want to see God doing? And so, as a start this morning, the image I share with you, and you might want to imagine like this aisle here, the image I share with you is that of Oliver Twist. Oliver Twist leaving his seat, walking to the front with his bowl and uttering those words, "Sir, can I have some? More." Lord, we want more. Lord, do you want to do more here in 2024? I've talked about it at these other points of vision. We would love to see more families, and it's great to welcome families here this morning. We meet in a school, a 3-4 entry school. God's put us here, opposite a secondary school. We want to see more families. And across the board of all ages, we want to see people coming to faith in Jesus, for we know that that brings joy and purpose and forgiveness and life. I'd love to see more people in small groups, more people coming to things like 24 hours of prayer. These are good things, and they are our heart if God wants to do them. But the church isn't about numbers. Now, I have to say that out loud because I'm a vicar and we have to put them in a book every Sunday. And then the diocese asks me for them annually. Ali, we must get a date in the diary. But it's not about numbers, is it? Because God cares about each of us as individuals. There's a missionary called Heidi Baker who's amazing, and she has a phrase that I love. And I know, and I look out, and there are people here whose ministry and mission does this so well. It's all about the one in front of you. It's all about the one in front of you. And it's about us, the one in front of God as well. So actually, what I think we cry out for is more worship from the heart, more confidence in God's word, more opportunities to love our neighbour and serve those around us. More of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, more of the presence of God. Basically, we want more of the Lord in our personal lives, in this wonderful church fellowship, and in these gorgeous communities of Hollywood and Withall and whatever community you represent. We gather in order to scatter. So whatever community we go back to, we want more of the Lord there. So what is it that we want? We want heaven to touch earth. Sorry, I didn't switch the mic on, did I? What do you want me to do? Will the recording of the sermon still carry on? Just carry on. Don't worry, Manda. God says that to me all the time. Don't worry, Manda. Now you see, we need to be careful not to be distracted. I'm talking to myself. What we want is heaven to touch earth. And so this is our new sermon series, a sermon series to set our focus for 2024, heaven touching earth. And so we begin with this passage today from Isaiah, which opens with what we're taking as our overarching text for this series. Isaiah 64 verse 1 says, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down." If it's a verse you already know, keep saying it. If it's a verse you don't know yet, that's absolutely fine. Why don't we learn it? "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down." We're in the book of Isaiah, the prophet, and this is Isaiah himself speaking. Actually, Isaiah is praying. He's crying out to God. And there was so much need to cry out to God at that time. He's praying. We sometimes call prayer intercessions. I read a quote this week that says, "Intercession is so good because it shows our dependence on God." Isaiah is depending on God. He's crying out to him, and he needs to, because the situation here is this. Let me set the context. We're talking about 700 years before the birth of Jesus. And these are desperate times. They're desperate times because the nation of Israel has been divided. So God's chosen people have become divided. So they've been divided into the northern kingdom, which is the 10 tribes of Israel, and the southern kingdom, which are the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. Way up north is a superpower, Assyria. They are vicious. And they've already taken over the northern kingdom. Isaiah was in Jerusalem, in Judah, the southern kingdom. He and everyone knew they could be next. They could be the next people to be under the assault of the Assyrians. So there is much need for prayer, for this intercession, for crying out and depending on God. For those of you that got a church Bible or your own Bible with you, if you just turn back from chapter 64 in Isaiah to chapter 63, verse 7, because that's where Isaiah's prayer begins. And you'll see in the church Bibles, and maybe in your Bible, certainly my Bible at home, it's headed praise and prayer. Isaiah is engaging in praise and prayer. So he prays some things, he declares some things, and then, right in the middle of the prayer, we get the start of our reading today, where Isaiah prays, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down." Slides up there, that'd be great. Thanks, Jan. Lovely picture of the text. "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down." There we go. Excellent. Right, well, you might get worried here that we're going to expository preaching of three verses, because I'm going to start with the first word. Just the single word. Oh. Now, I'm pretty sure in the 12 years I've been ordained, I have never preached on the word, oh. I've used it in Scrabble. Not an impressive word, but when you've got an O or a H, you know, it might be helpful. But this word at the beginning of this plea shows Isaiah's heart. He really needs to cry out to God. Oh, it shows his priority. In a way, he's been praying, and it's like at this point, the prayer dial is dialed up to beyond 10. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Oh, I said that so vehemently, I'm going to have a drink now, sorry. Isaiah prays this on behalf of his own people. He cries out, he pleads to God, "Lord, show up. Lord, would you just show up here? Would you help your people?" And what we see as he goes on to expound this prayer is a theme coming out. There's a theme in these verses, because we know there's a theme because there's repeated phrases. Now, when you're studying God's word, when you're looking in it, if you see repeated phrases, we can all go, "Oh yeah, God wants to tell us this," because it's said over and over. So, there's our three verses. Now, I've got it in the next slide, and I have put into blue the repeated phrase. So that's it, and watch it change. Okay. So in each of our three verses, we have a repeated phrase. In verse 1, he cries that the mountains would tremble before you. In verse 2, that you would cause the nations to quake before you. In verse 3, and the mountains trembled before you. And this phrase, "before you," is also translated in some versions of Scripture as "in your presence." If you're before someone, you're with them. You're in their presence. And so the key theme here of Isaiah is he's praying for the presence of God. What a great way for us to enter this new year, to pray for the presence of God. In Isaiah's time, Isaiah didn't feel God had been evidently present for a long while. Now, it's true that the Israelites, the people of God, hadn't been faithful. And their enemies, as I said, the Assyrians, were triumphing over them. They were looking out, Isaiah was looking out, and it seemed that God was distant. So he cries out to God to not be distant, to be close. I wonder if that resonates with anybody here. Where is God? Does he feel distant? Does it feel to you that you used to know God close to you, but not now? It may be that you've never known the true closeness of God. You're thinking, closeness of God? the Almighty One, the Sovereign, the one we worship, how can he be close to me, a human being? Maybe you are feeling close to God, but I don't think it's wrong to cry out the prayer and ask for more. If you'll have a look with me, we'll move now to look at verse 3. Isaiah says to God, "For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you." Now, you notice this is in the past tense. So it seems Isaiah is referring to a time when God was present. "The mountains trembled in your presence," he says. And therefore, it's thought to refer to the time when God gave the law to Moses. The Ten Commandments, the tablets on Mount Sinai, Moses went up and met with God. So Isaiah knows this. He knows how God has been present. Pete shared those verses from Isaiah 6, the commissioning of Isaiah, when Isaiah himself has seen God. But this verse refers back to this giving of the law. Isaiah knows that God's done it in the past, so he pleads with God to intervene as he once did. "Do it again, Lord. More, Lord." Are you longing for God to intervene in a family issue, in a health issue, in your sadness and grief? At the start of 2024, are we all longing for God's presence, for him to make the difference that only he can make? I love that word, intervene, that God comes within it. How do we do that? How do we bring ourselves into God's presence? I did see a poster outside a church once that says, "Does God seem distant? If God seems far away, who's moved?" I thought that was a bit challenging and harsh, but God is with us. The Bible says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." The Bible also says, "Seek me with all your heart and you will find me." Can we do that? Can we bring ourselves closer to God so God brings himself closer to us? Or are we just satisfied? "Oh, well, I'm a Christian. Church is good. The people of St. Mary's are nice. The God stuff, well, maybe next week." Or are we seeking it? You know, I've talked about Moses and him encountering God and receiving the law. He was someone who desired the presence of God. In Exodus 33, Moses says to God, "Show me your glory." Actually, if we think where that comes, that's really interesting. Moses has already seen the Red Sea part open. Wow, he'd seen God do amazing things. And then they were in the desert, weren't they? And God saw miracles. The people moaned and moaned. They needed food. The manna came. They needed water. The rock split open and water came. They needed to be guided. There was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Moses had experienced the presence of God and seen God at work. But a bit later on, he says, "God, show me your glory." You want more, Moses? Yes, indeed. Do you want more, Manda? Do you want more, insert your name, more of the presence of God? I hope your answer is yes. Because the presence of God makes a huge difference. We can see in... sorry about the one-handed fumbling. We can see in our verses, he says, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you." So he asks him to come. And then in verse 2, he shows that he knows it makes a difference. "As when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil." What interesting little examples. Now, you might know, or I'll share with you, that on the 2nd of October, Paul and I became proud owners of a log burner. and we love it. I'm almost as evangelistic about the log, but no, Jesus is what I want to talk about. But, you know, we love it. But I now know the difference between twigs, wood, and a fire. You know, if we walk in and it's cold, the wood's on the side, but it needs to be in the fire. That's such a difference. So as twigs are set ablaze, God makes a difference, causing water to boil. Have you ever done that awful thing? I've done it a couple of times. When you're making a cup of soup, you think you've boiled the kettle and you pour the water. Oh, I've got some nods over there. There is nothing worse than a cold cup of soup. You know, water boiling is completely different to cold water. Oh, that you'd rend the heavens and come down. The presence of God makes so much difference. So are we longing for the presence of God? How do we do it? How? Well, of course, there are a number of things. God's word, reading it, meeting with God in it, prayer, coming before God, but not just with a list of things, but to listen, to know his presence. Worship, whether that be worship songs at home or joining corporate worship here or somewhere else. That's how we experience the presence of God. And we want it not just for ourselves, but how lovely if we can pray for it for one another. I shared at the 9 o'clock that as the staff team, we meet on a Monday morning. We meet to do business, but we meet to pray for each other, but we study the Bible together. We're like our own little home group. And what we're doing in our Bible study is we're looking at the prayers of the Apostle Paul. They come in letters like the letter to the Ephesians and the Philippians and the Thessalonians. And the reason we're doing this is because when Paul writes these letters, he tells them what he's praying for them, and he prays spiritual things. That you would grasp how long, how high, how wide is the love of Christ. We're going to pray that for each other. Great that we can want the presence of God for us, that we can pray it for one another. But also, we want to pray, Lord, come down to those who don't yet know Jesus. If you look at this in the blue, in verse 2 it says, come down to make your name known to your enemies. God's enemies are just those who aren't yet friends with God. It's the death of Jesus on the cross that we might be forgiven, that we can be friends again with our holy God. Our prayer is surely that people will meet and know Jesus, know that forgiveness, that peace, and that transforming power. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. So we are marking 2024 as a special year for St. Mary's. And we've earmarked it, like that heading in our Bibles for Isaiah's prayer, as a year of prayer and praise. We want to worship and praise. We always do. There's not a lot new in this. It's like, oh, is that very inspired, Manda? Surely that's what every church does, what every Christian does. It is. But it's the Oliver Twist, more Lord. We want to praise God, to worship him in spirit and truth, to lift our eyes to Jesus on the throne, to grasp more of his sovereignty, his glory, and worship him and praise him. And then the invitation is to go on this adventure with God. Pam shared with us on Christmas Eve a sudden thought that we've been in Advent, and Advent is the first part of the word adventure. So as we go into this year, an adventure of, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that we'd know more of God's presence, crying out for it. Why? Because God's presence brings comfort and peace and healing. It brings salvations, meaning people coming to faith in Jesus. It brings a tangible difference in our lives. Advent and into the new year have been a challenging time for me. And what I've been able to do with the prayers of others and the encouragement of people is dig into God's word, to dig into the truths, to challenge myself with this phrase, trust him. Trust him and trust him more. In a year of prayer and praise, May we experience God's presence and grow in him and see what he's doing. I'm excited by what he's doing this morning. It's great to see people that have been worshipping in St. Mary's before this building. But it's great to welcome people that have been a couple of times before or are here for a first time. That's the Church of God, and that's the Church of St. Mary's in this place at this time. Well, I'm going to close with praying, but I'm going to pray that amazing bit of scripture from Ephesians. So Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. And again, this is a wonderful text to read over and over and learn if you can. Oh, can I have the next slide? Part of it is on the screen. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church, glory in the Church of St. Mary's, glory in the Church of England, glory in God's church everywhere, and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Lord, may we see you do immeasurably more in our lives, in our church, and in our community in 2024 and going forward. Amen.